Chapter 24. In the Subway. All four friends and Rin's branch sat in the way back of the mid-sized van. Their Uber driver was a man in his late 50s with a small wisp of gray hair on the top of his head and facial features that looked to have been slowly sliding down his face over the past 10 years. He took a moment to stare at Rin's hat, robe, and stick. He followed up his stare with a droopy smile.
"You're headed to the airport?" he asked. "I don't know how they'll feel about that stick."
Siggy opened her mouth to answer, but Rin beat her to the punch.
"We're not going to the airport after all," the wizard said. "We just need you to take us to the nearest E-train station. And if you had any imagination, you would be able to see the majestic staff this stick will one day be."
The driver's face got droopier.
"I've never had much imagination, which is why I didn't imagine I'd be taking you to the station just up the street. I thought I'd be taking you to the airport."
"I thought it would be warm today," Rin replied. "Life gives us all kinds of chances to be surprised."
The driver pulled away from the curb and entered the heavy traffic. The snow had stopped falling and blowing, which made the evening's visibility considerably better than it had been. Everything was wet with melting snow.
"What are we doing?"
Siggy whispered to her dad.
"We're just taking a detour,"
he whispered in return while looking out the back window.
"I think our path needs a few alterations."
"What about the paint?"
Clark pleaded as he stuck his head out of Ozzy's pocket.
"I feel damaged. Maybe just a quick coat?"
"Not yet," Rin said, "but I promise we'll get to it."
Clark sulked back into his fabric cave, muttering something about wizard promises being worth next to nothing.
"I'll paint a scratch," Siggy offered.
"There isn't time," Rin said. "Can I see your phone?"
"It would only take a second," Siggy said, handing him her phone.
"Too late. We're here."
The van pulled over to the curb and stopped. The driver then turned to look at them. He glanced at Ozzy and Siggy before stopping to stare some more at Rin.
"What are you all dressed up for anyway? A costume party?"
"I'm a wizard."
"At what?" the driver asked.
"At everything."
Ozzy opened the door and they climbed out. Before closing the door, Rin gave the driver one last piece of advice.
"Remember, a man who questions absurdity must also question the norm."
Rin slammed the door shut before the driver could even dare to question absurdity a second time.
"Come on,"
the wizard said. With Clark in his pocket, Ozzy trotted down the stairs into the subway station. Siggy had his right hand and Rin was on his left. The place was packed with busy people doing busy things.
"We'll need some tickets," Rin informed them. "And since I am once again working to solve your problem, I'll let you pay and subtract it from the final bill."
"I think I still owe you from last time," Ozzy said. "What problem are you going to solve?"
"There's no such thing as a single problem," Rin said. "Everything's connected, which makes all your problems a part of your successity? Well, you get the drift."
"Barely,"
Ozzy said honestly. Rin helped Ozzy and Siggy figure out the machine to purchase subway passes, and then they all went through the turnstiles and got on a train.
"This feels right,"
Rin said as they took their seats.
"Watch for other wizards. These trains are loaded with them moving between Corfelt and reality. We love to travel the rails."
Siggy looked around.
"What this train is loaded with are feelings that make me think of our last train ride," Siggy said. "That wasn't pleasant."
"Years from now, you'll tell that story as if it were one of your fondest memories."
"I think you mean fondest near-death experiences."
The subway began to move, and Ozzy spoke up.
"I know you two have a father-daughter thing to work through, and that's great. You abandoned her, and she did nothing wrong.
but I'd really love to know what is going on with us being on this subway and not heading to the airport.
That question is more than fair, Rin replied. It's because we're being followed.
Ozzy and Siggy glanced around for a brief second before the wizard could warn them to stop doing that and act natural.
They knew we were in that car, Rin said.
How?
Siggy asked.
Probably your phone, he answered.
Siggy frantically felt her empty pockets.
Where is my phone?
You gave it to me, her father said.
Good.
Siggy reached out her hand, and I, in turn, left it in that car.
What? Why?
What good's a phone if it keeps whispering your location to the world?
That was my phone!
Siggy's cheeks burned.
All my stuff is on it!
It's just a thing.
Siggy swore. Rin looked repulsed.
Did your mom teach you that word?
No, you said it earlier when you were fighting with Clark about nail polish.
I'm sorry, Rin argued, but it makes no sense to have any other color of black besides cauldron. As for your phone, you can always get a new one. Before I left it in the car, I did a quick spell to preserve your information.
So you made sure it was backed up on the cloud?
A good wizard never spells and tells.
Ozzy held up his hands to stop them both from talking.
Just tell me if we're still being followed.
I think so. There are two men at the other end of this section, and both of them are wearing blue suits. They were tailing us in the car and probably saw us come down into the subway.
How do we lose them? Ozzy asked. Won't they know we're going to the airport?
No, because this train goes the opposite direction. Two stops from now, we're going to get off this train, acting like we don't have a worry in the world.
Then what?
We'll see,
Rin said excitedly.
You are the worst,
Clark chirped from Ozzy's pocket. Rin looked down.
I forgot what a funny bird you were.
How about a spell?
Ozzy begged the wizard.
No, thank you, I'm fine.
No, how about you doing a spell?
Still no, and still thank you.
Two stops later, they all stood up, acting as if they had no idea that anything was wrong or that anyone was following them. They exited the crowded subway onto an even more crowded platform. It was the end of the workday, and everyone was moving as one gigantic mass to get home.
They're still following, Rin reported. Just keep walking.
The crowd of people moving across the platform and toward the stairs to the street was suffocating. Ozzy couldn't tell one person from the next, and his vision was cut off in most directions because he was pressed up against other people. He held on to Siggy's hand and followed behind Rin. Looking up, he realized that there was a problem.
We'll never lose them, Ozzy said loudly. Your hat and staff stick out like a beacon above the crowd.
Of course,
Rin replied.
Keep your heads low and get ready to pivot.
The wizard pushed through the crowd as if heading toward someone specific.
Clark, Rin said loudly. Do you think you could make some noisy distraction off to our left without being seen?
I don't know, the bird chirped passive-aggressively. Do you think you can keep a promise?
You make some noise, and I'll give you 3 coats of finger paint, plus something crinkly to chew on.
Clark needed no further persuading. The bird crawled out of Ozzy's pocket and worked his way down toward everyone's feet. The space near the floor was tight and chaotic, but Clark was agile and quick. He zipped around people's legs like it was a connect-the-dots puzzle, and completing the picture was a matter of life or death. When he reached the wall, he instantly began to stir things up. Staying low against the ground, he forcefully bumped into the ankles of anyone near him. It only took a couple thumps before someone looked down. That same someone thought he was a rat and screamed accordingly. A small group of people near the screeching man joined in, trying to scatter and avoid the small black thing ricocheting off their feet. Clark's distraction was perfect. The entire crowd of commuters temporarily turned their attention from what they were doing to look toward the commotion. Rin jumped into action. He lunged forward and, with one impressive twist, pulled off his robe and placed it on the back of a vagrant who was working his way to homeless. Rin flipped his hat onto the man's head with his right hand, then, executing a quick juke move, he pushed Ozzy and Siggy sharply to the left and through the thick, noisy crowd while keeping his branch down. The three of them kept their heads low until they reached the left wall. From there, they turned and headed down a flight of stairs that led to another platform. Ozzy felt Clark grab onto his leg and work his way back up to his pocket. When they reached the platform, there was another train getting ready to leave.
"Old Oris for all of us!" Rin shouted while holding his branch up.
The three Oregonians and Clark slipped onto the subway a single second before the doors shut.
"That was close," Siggy said in awe.
"Nothing is close or far," Rin said, "just connected."
"Well, I'm glad that connection didn't end with us being slammed in the door, Dad."
Rin looked at his daughter.
"Does your mother know you're here?"
"No."
"Good. I'd hate for her to worry."
The train they were on was half empty, making it easy for Rin to find an open seat. He sat down and smiled contently. Rin looked like a different wizard without his hat and robe. He appeared younger and fitter than many of the wizards Ozzy had read about in books. His tree branch was resting against the metal bar in front of him.
"We can ride this train all the way to the airport," Rin announced. "It'll take about an hour."
Ozzy sat down next to him.
"That was impressive. It's too bad you lost your robe and your hat."
"I've made a tremendous sacrifice."
"They're just things," Siggy reminded him as she sat on the other side. "And I can't believe that worked. You just put your stuff on someone and they followed him?"
"People love pursuing the things they already know and understand. It's not a good trait."
Rin put his arm around Siggy, and for the first time since Ozzy had known either of them, they looked like father and daughter. Without his hat, it was easier to see the similarity of their eyes and how closely the shape of their ears matched. Siggy's skin was dark and nicely highlighted by the lights of the subway, while Rin was tan and fairly well preserved for his age, which he claimed was because of Corfelt. According to him, things were so perfect there that it caused all wizards to age slowly. Father and daughter sighed, and the movement and motion of their exhale was identical.
"Unfair."
Ozzy heard the word in his head, broadcast throughout his being like a bulletin of envy. It was a strong, selfish emotion that he didn't like being a part of. He would never have what Siggy had, and because of that, a suffocating feeling of hopelessness shook him as the train rolled over the tracks. The feeling was not hard to figure out. Ozzy missed his parents. The revelations he had had recently were neither satisfying nor comfortable, and no matter how he formulated the problem, the answer was never what he wanted. His parents were gone. A small part of him felt resentment. Ray's intentions seemed sinister, but the nagging thought of what he might know or what knowledge he could have given Ozzy made Ozzy wonder if he hadn't missed an opportunity to find out more. He had been afraid for himself and Siggy, but the fear he felt in the courtyard was nothing compared to what he had lived through over the last 7 years. Ozzy sighed in a way that didn't resemble Siggy or Rin at all, and the subway suddenly felt oppressive and lacking enough air to properly breathe. The heavy moment was broken up by a bird as Clark cleared his beak. All three of them looked down at Ozzy's pocket.
The bird's head stuck out, and he looked up at them.
I hate to be all self-involved and sparrow-like, he chirped, but I'm wondering why nobody has brought up the fact that it was my distraction back there that really made our escape possible. It's not like it was easy. I got stepped on twice.
Sorry, Siggy apologized.
Me too, Ozzy said, feeling the mood lighten with the self-centered concerns of his bird. Actually, I was just about to bring it up.
Well then, go ahead.
So as the train moved on in the direction of the airport, Rin, Siggy, and Ozzy all took turns extolling Clark's virtues and dishing out bird-worthy accolades. It was a nice distraction on a night that had already come with plenty. And through it all, the train rumbled on. Ozzy and Siggy never looked around for any other wizards that might have been using the train. There was no need. They had Rin, and his presence made it feel like something was happening.
Chapter 25. Reasons to Worry. The subway car cleared out even more as people got off at each stop and no one knew joined the journey. The train ran all the way to the airport. It appeared that only Ozzy and his group were among the few planning to take it that far. The three of them sat on the subway seats looking weary and worn. Without his hat and robe, Rin seemed a little less magical. With nobody but them in their part of the train, Clark crawled out of Ozzy's pocket and perched on his left knee. The bird looked over at the trousers Rin was wearing.
What's up with your pants? Clark asked. They're not as boring as before.
Rin sat up straight and sniffed.
I was given these because I'm now advanced.
In age? Clark asked.
No, the wizard replied. I have moved from novice to advanced.
And they give you new trousers for that? Ozzy questioned. Rin nodded.
The wizard levels in Corfelt are indicated by trousers. You should see the ones the Grand Wizard wears.
So you advanced? Siggy asked, sounding more embarrassed than proud. It wasn't easy for Siggy to talk about Corfelt. For years, her father had told stories about the place as if it really existed. It was humiliating to her and her mom. It was only recently that she had found the patience to believe in it for his sake. She had seen him work magic 4 months before, but for Siggy, there was still doubt.
I did, Rin answered her. When I stepped back into Corfelt, I was immediately greeted with these. It seems that what we accomplished on that mountain helped me considerably.
And to honor that, they handed you pants?
Clark was still struggling with the idea.
Why not a trophy? Or two trophies?
Trousers are a much more dignified and traditional reward. You should see the respect that other wizards were forced to give me when I walked by. The spell of envy is one I love to cast.
Then why'd you come back? Clark asked. I would have just stayed there, strutting around. Do they make those in size bird?
I don't think so, Rin answered. Birds in Corfelt aren't big on modesty. I actually came back because Ozzy called.
Ozzy was shocked. You got my phone messages?
No, Rin said. Information like that is received differently in Corfelt. A wizard named Ted poked me and told me there was some kid trying to reach me.
Really? Ozzy asked.
Yes, I've got the bruise on my arm to prove it.
Rin pulled up the right sleeve of his black t-shirt to show them a small bruise about the size and shape of a nickel.
Ted is a competitive poker.
Did he tell you Siggy and I were in New York?
No, that wasn't necessary.
Rin looked contemplative.
Let me think. What's the best way to explain this?
Briefly, Clark suggested.
No, that's not it, Rin said.
Here's the thing. Corfelt knows where and when to open up and drop people off.
and because time and space are so much different there, we can travel at remarkable clips. 1 minute I'm standing in a field near the Low Wizard summer vacation castle, and the next I'm in a courtyard watching some man who's too lazy to carry his own umbrella boss you two around.
Amazing, Ozzy said.
Yeah, Siggy said skeptically. If that's the case, then it seems like you would have easily been able to attend at least one of my piano recitals over the last 10 years.
Who's to say I didn't?
Were you there? She asked.
No, and yes.
Siggy sighed. So no.
And yes, the wizard said defensively. As in, yes, I wasn't. A wizard's time is not always his own, and I don't make the schedule in Corfelt. That's for someone with much nicer trousers than I. The important thing is that I'm here now. There's no need to worry about the what-ifs and how-comes of the past when we're moving forward.
Ozzy raised his hand. It was something he did a lot recently. Having lived alone for so long and having so many things that he still didn't know or understand, it seemed almost magical to be able to raise his hand at school and have someone automatically listen to him.
You don't have to raise your hand here, Siggy said.
I like it, Rin replied. Very professional.
Ozzy put his hand down and spoke. I'm looking for a way to explain what happened back there, but I can't. You appeared and saved us with magic?
I appeared and hit Mr. Too Good to Hold His Own Umbrella with this branch. He dropped Clark, and the two of us, combined with the weather, were able to create a bit of chaos so you and Siggy could get away. If you fail to see the magic in that, then I pity you.
Are you taking credit for the weather? Siggy asked.
What are they teaching you in that school?
Now Rin looked embarrassed by his daughter's lack of knowledge.
Since the dawn of time, wizards have used the elements to our advantage. Have you never heard the story of Merlin's Ark?
Yes, his daughter replied. You used to tell it to me as a child, but what does it have to do with weather?
Well, for starters, that Ark couldn't have flown without those tornadoes. And it illustrates the point that wizards use weather to disguise their gift all the time. Hiding magic in a storm or earthquake helps people with small thoughts cope. It gives them something to blame the phenomenon on.
Please, Ozzy begged, that's great and very plaque-like, but I'm tired, and I just wanted a reasonable answer.
Okay, Rin conceded. Ask a question, and I'll keep my answers reasonable.
Almost 4 months ago, you disappeared. Ozzy said seriously. You left me and Siggy and Clark alone to make our way home and answer thousands of questions from Sheriff Wills, social workers, lawyers, everybody. We didn't know if you were dead or lost or ever coming back. Then we got a mysterious envelope with a plane ticket in it and the address to a hotel whose initials spell out your name.
Rin looked confused.
Resort in New York. Siggy explained.
My name's not Rinny.
That's what I said, Clark chirped. Forget that, Ozzy insisted, because even though it wasn't you who sent for us, it was you we found. I still can't figure out exactly what's real in this world and what things are just misunderstood ideas that I never figured out growing up alone.
Alone?
Clark said with disgust.
Alone with a winged piece of metal that doesn't know much more than I do.
That's better, Clark said.
And you, Ozzy said to Rin as he sat right next to him, you make the space between reality and the unknown even more confusing. I think you're a wizard. I mean, after all we've been through, it really seems like a possibility. But there are also signs and science pointing toward the fact that you can't be.
I'm not sure I heard a question in there, the wizard said kindly.
I guess,
Ozzy paused to find the right sequence of words.
I guess I question everything about you.
Rin turned his head to look directly at Ozzy. His dark eyes reached into the boy's uncertain soul, and began to pull out feelings of confusion and wonder. The wizard stood up. Even without his robe and hat, his 6-foot-4-inch stature made him seem otherworldly. He took hold of a silver bar connected to the roof of the subway car and twisted his body to face both his daughter and Ozzy. There was no one else in their section of the train, making the scene feel empty. His beard appeared to wriggle and move, even though there was no wind. Holding onto the bar with one hand, he lifted the other and pointed at Ozzy.
"You seem to have gotten better at speaking your mind," Rin observed. "That's going to bode well for us. You are no longer the boy who phoned me, desperate to find your parents. You're something different. I know what has been happening to you, strange forces doing things that you're not in control of. I know that worries you, but it doesn't worry me. A condition such as yours is something to be praised in Corfelt, and you may find this hard to believe, but I arrived at the hotel because you were there."
Ozzy's finger buzzed, and he closed his eyes.
"As you can tell by my trousers," the wizard continued, "I have moved forward with my training, but now I am at an impasse. I have been informed that any progress I make from this point will require the help of someone else. You see, no man is an island, unless you're talking about Carl."
Rin looked defensive.
"I'm sorry, I can turn someone into an enchanted island, but it's not my responsibility to turn them back."
"What?" Ozzy asked.
"Right. The point is that for me to move forward, I need an apprentice."
Ozzy opened his gray eyes.
"And I believe that apprentice is you."
Rin continued, pointing at Ozzy.
"Is he talking about me?"
Clark asked, standing on the boy's lap.
"I'm not," Rin said with conviction.
"And he's obviously not talking about me."
Siggy sounded both disappointed and unsurprised.
"Of course not," Rin told her. "You're my daughter. You don't require apprenticeship. If magic is what you pursue, you will be grandfathered in."
"Because you're so old?" Clark asked Rin.
"No, it's just a term."
"I don't understand," Ozzy said. "You need an apprentice?"
Rin nodded.
"And you think that it's me?"
Rin nodded again.
"I'm not sure what to say," Ozzy admitted. "I know that what I've been through since meeting you is hard to define, but I still don't know if I'm a believer."
"Good," Rin said. "Doubt often brings answers."
"And what does apprenticeship require?" Ozzy asked. "I don't fit in great at school now. If I have to wear a robe and a hat, I think I'll be done for."
"You can wear what you wish."
"This doesn't make sense."
Ozzy's finger buzzed and his forehead began to sweat.
"I don't feel right. I think I need to be home to make this kind of decision."
"Of course," Rin agreed. "That's why we're headed to the airport."
"We might not be able to just fly out, you know," Siggy told them. "If Ray is as powerful as he said he is, he'll have people waiting at the airport to stop us. He knows what time we fly out. He bought Ozzy's ticket."
"Right," Rin said. "He did know. That's why I purchased us all tickets for a new flight leaving from a different airport tonight. It's not a direct flight, but it'll get us to Portland by way of Denver. And by the time Ray realizes you haven't shown up for your flight tomorrow morning, we'll all be long gone."
"How'd you get tickets?" Siggy asked. "I thought you didn't have your wallet."
"That's not important," Rin insisted. "What really matters is that this is our stop."
The train began to slow. Siggy and Ozzy stood up next to Rin, and Clark took his place in the boy's pocket. When the train came to a stop, the doors opened, and they exited in silence. There were numerous things to think about and worry over, but getting back to Oregon undetected was foremost on their minds.
"We're going home," Clark whispered happily. We haven't even been gone a day, Siggy reminded him.
Still, I miss the mailbox.
Everybody has something they long for. Chapter 26 Stopped Short. Once they were in the airport, Rin checked his branch as luggage.
Be careful with that, he told the woman at the counter.
It's just a branch, she said, sounding confused.
It's funny how little some people see, he said, acting and sounding as if she couldn't understand. This is much more than a branch.
Well, then, maybe we shouldn't let you check it in, the woman said, throwing back some attitude. It could be something dangerous.
Right, Rin conceded. It's just a branch.
The woman tagged the branch and printed out their boarding passes. The four of them moved away from the counter and sat down on a small cluster of chairs near the escalators, a bit out of the way, giving them a small amount of privacy. It was the perfect spot to figure out what to do with Clark. They needed to get the bird past security without having him taken away or causing a scene. They also needed to apply the nail polish that Clark had been whining for. Clark sat on Ozzy's lap as the polish was applied, and they all brainstormed. I could pretend I was a brooch and hang on to Siggy's shirt, the raven suggested. Ozzy shook the nail polish. Nobody wears brooches anymore, Siggy informed the bird, especially one that looks like you. Maybe they'll think he's something harmless and just let him through, Ozzy said. I doubt that, Clark said. Obviously, I'm intimidating. Ozzy opened the polish and brushed two streaks of black over the thin scratches Clark had procured during the courtyard fight. Much better, the bird said happily. What about a spell, then? Ozzy suggested to Rin. Can't you say a few words and make Clark invisible? At least until we're through security? If you want me to be an apprentice, I probably need to know how to do things like that.
True, Rin said. But why make things more difficult than they have to be?
Look. The wizard pointed toward the ceiling. There, in the metal rafters, a real sparrow was flying around.
It looks like some birds have gotten into the airport, he said. So as much as I'd like to whip up a spell, I suggest that Clark just act like himself and fly through.
Clark looked up at the sparrow in the rafters. I'll be honest, he chirped softly. I've always felt superior to real birds, but I don't mind pretending to be one for a few minutes. I'll just need to get into their heads. Clark rubbed his temples with the tips of his wings. Okay. I'm flighty and I like seeds. Well, not much to work with. Maybe I should spend a moment with that real one before I slip into character. Clark brushed his head feathers back with his wing. He blinked his small eyes and tried to look down at his freshly painted chest. Then, without saying a word, he shot up into the rafters. They watched him land by the real bird and begin squawking. That's great, Ozzy said to Rin, but it's not a spell, and it didn't teach me anything. I'll try not to look disappointed, Rin said happily. The three of them left the small grouping of chairs and walked across the ticketing area to security. The line was long, but it moved quickly. Rin, without his wizard wear, was just a taller-than-average person whom nobody seemed to stare at or make fun of. The only glitch was when Rin had to show the TSA agent his ID to get through. The agent looked at it a moment before saying, Good evening, Brian. Rin bristled as Ozzy and Siggy smiled.
I go by Labyrinth, but my friends call me Rin.
I go by the IDs, the TSA agent informed him. Are you traveling for work or pleasure, Brian?
All travel is pleasure, the wizard replied.
And it's Rin.
Where are you flying to?
I believe it says that on the boarding pass that you're holding.
Fair enough. The TSA agent stared directly at Rin's eyes. Still, I'd like to hear it from you.
First off, I prefer more than fair. And second, we're flying to Portland.
The TSA agent looked at the underdressed wizard and decided he didn't have the desire or the time to waste on him any longer.
Enjoy your flight, Brian.
It's Rin.
Siggy helped pull her father away from the agent and over to the conveyor belt, where they placed their shoes and bag in a bin. After going through the scanners, putting their shoes back on, and exiting the security area, Rin searched the airport directory on the wall for a place that might serve eggs at this time of day. There wasn't one.
Reality is so backward, Rin said frustrated. Lack of breakfast food is a shame. These are some of the things you might be dealing with someday, Ozzy.
It feels like I'm dealing with them now. They settled for eating licorice and almonds from a vending machine. When they reached their gate, people were already lining up to get on the flight.
There was no sign of Ray or any of his security detail. There was also no sign of Clark.
He'll get here, Siggy said.
They waited aboard, hoping that Clark would show up, but eventually the gate agent informed them they needed to get on or the flight would take off without them.
Don't worry, Siggy said as she held Ozzy's hand. I bet he slipped onto the plane before we got to the gate. We'll see him inside.
The wizard's daughter was typically an honest person, but she was wrong about Clark, because after they got on the plane, they took their seats and the door was closed. Then, following a brief safety message, the aircraft took to the sky without any of them ever seeing Clark. Rin wasn't concerned.
Fretting about that bird is a waste of worry. I don't know a more capable thing. Do you think they serve pretzels on this flight?
You should have done a spell, Ozzy complained.
I offered.
Technically, you didn't, Siggy pointed out. You only said you would have.
Some words can have double meanings.
Not any of those, Siggy insisted.
The flight to Denver was uneventful and a little disappointing because of a certain bird's absence and a lack of pretzels. While transferring planes in Denver, Ozzy hoped with renewed effort that Clark would appear. He didn't. The second flight from Denver to Portland was just as uneventful as the first, and just as void of pretzels.
Peanuts are like a trash snack in Corfelt.
Then let me have yours, Ozzy offered.
That would be less than fair to Siggy.
When they landed in Portland, it was 1 a.m, and there was still no sign of Clark. They collected Rin's branch at baggage claim, and then Ozzy bought 3 tickets for a shuttle bus that was heading to Otter Rock. The weary travelers got in the shuttle and took seats in the rear. The only other passengers were the driver, whose name was Renee, and a woman wearing a shawl and shorts. The woman was lying across the first row of seats, doing what most people do at 1 a.m, sleeping.
This isn't good, Ozzy said as they traveled home, his stomach feeling queasy.
Don't define things you can't clearly see, the wizard insisted. I can't have an apprentice who lacks the patience to wait for the whole picture to come into focus before describing it.
I'm not your apprentice.
Once you realize what it comes with, you won't want to choose anything else.
What does it come with? Ozzy asked. The ability to give vague advice and crave breakfast food?
Those are just happy byproducts. Apprenticeship comes with the gift of wonder.
It was dark in the back of the shuttle bus, but Siggy rolled her eyes with such commitment that Ozzy could see it.
Dad, you're making it sound worse.
Then I've failed. Because, Ozzy, if you had any idea of what that meant, you would be weeping with joy and anticipation. This is not just a simple position or title. The wizard's apprentice is entitled to a single purchase of wonder.
Well then, Ozzy said, I wonder where Clark is.
He's right where he should be, the wizard insisted. You just don't know where that is. In Corfelt, we call that being temporarily blind.
Here, we call it missing, Siggy said.
The woman who was lying across the front row seats began to whistle through her nose as she slept.
"What song is that?"
Rin asked. "It's not a song," Siggy's voice sounded embarrassed. "She's just breathing as she sleeps."
"Well, it's very haunting. Someone should record it."
"I would if I still had my phone." Siggy's tone was not happy. "Actually, I probably still wouldn't. You have a phone, use yours."
"I'm out of space."
The shuttle van traveled west. Siggy leaned her hair and head against the window and closed her eyes. As the wheels of the vehicle sailed over the road, the engine hummed in time to the whistling nose. After a dozen miles, Ozzy spoke to the wizard. "Do I have to go to Corfelt to be an apprentice?" he asked quietly.
"No, all 5 tasks will happen here."
5 tasks?
"Yes,"
Rin said with a hushed excitement.
"The Cinco Wizard Competition."
"Is that anything like the Tri-Wizard Tournament in Harry Potter?"
"No, this one has 5 things, and it's just for you."
Ozzy groaned. "You know, I want to believe everything you say."
"I sincerely hope you don't."
"Does that mean you're lying about this quest?"
"The SinWizCom? No, not at all. Your completing it is essential. What I need to do can't be done on my own, and I am wizard enough to know that I need help. But our first step is to figure out what's going on with you. You walked into the ocean and don't remember anything about the episode?"
"Only a feeling of fear."
"This seems to be tied to what your parents were working on, correct?"
Ozzy nodded. Rin sighed in a way that seemed to empty the van of oxygen.
"Your parents."
He shook his head.
"Sometimes people work so hard to manufacture magic that they ignore all the ruin they leave in their wake."
"Are you calling me ruin?"
"I'm just pointing out what seems most obvious. Tell me about your finger."
"It buzzes now."
"Is that new?"
"Sort of," Ozzy said quietly. "I first noticed it on the mountain as Charles was trying to kill us. For a moment, my mind felt as if it had some control over him."
"And now?"
Rack!
Rin's words were cut short by the horrifying noise of something hitting the front window of the shuttle bus. Whatever it was struck with such force and surprise that Renee panicked and pressed on the gas instead of the brakes. His hands flailed as he spun the steering wheel and the bus flew off the edge of the road and down into a field of wet weeds and mud. Renee shouted loud, fear-filled prayers as he fought to control the vehicle. Everyone inside was tossed to the right as the shuttle bus came to a sudden and uneven stop in the mud. Siggy was baffled by waking up to such a chaotic scene, and the woman in the shorts and shawl wouldn't stop screaming as she tried to figure out what was happening.
"We hit something!"
Renee yelled at her.
"We're all right!"
Siggy calmed down as shorts and shawl released a few quick squeals before trying to catch her breath. Renee let go of the steering wheel and climbed out of the van to assess the damage. From where Ozzy was, he could see that the front windshield was completely covered with cracks from the impact. Ozzy looked at Rin. Rin smiled.
"And you were worried that Clark wouldn't find us," the wizard said happily.
Ozzy leaned forward and threw open the door. He stepped out into the dark and muddy field. The high beams and interior lights of the shuttle bus lit up a small ring of the ground outside the vehicle. Ozzy tried to calculate where Clark might have ended up after hitting the windshield.
"You better be okay," he whispered.
Ozzy walked to where the shuttle bus had come off the road. As he stepped through the mud, something landed awkwardly on his left shoulder. He stopped walking.
"Wow," Clark said into Ozzy's left ear. "I didn't realize I was capable of getting a headache."
"You hit that windshield really hard," Ozzy said as he reached up and took his friend into his hand. "You're lucky you still have a head to ache. What were you thinking?"
I missed the first flight in New York, the bird confessed. I got to talking with that sparrow and lost track of time.
Sparrows can't talk.
I know, I had to carry most of the conversation, Clark complained. After I missed the flight, I flew around the airport a while just to give people some thrills. I heard someone talking about their flight to Portland, so I followed them to their flight and hid out in a large paper bag some man was transporting a cake in. I must have blacked out from lack of charge because I didn't wake up until the plane landed and the man noticed me in his bag. He made the mistake of holding me where there was light, and I made the mistake of scratching him more than was absolutely necessary to get free. Also, and this is the part where you might think less of me, I noticed there was a pen in the man's shirt pocket. It accidentally got caught up in my talons as I struggled to get away from him.
You took someone's pen?
That's what you might think, but it turns out it wasn't just a pen. It was some sort of bendy pen light, which, if you think about it, makes my taking it more of a fortunate circumstance than it was theft. I wouldn't have been able to fly in the dark without it. I bent it so that I was able to hold one end in my beak and have the other end back behind my head to light up my stripe. I must have dropped it when I hit the van. Can you help me look for it?
Not right now. That still doesn't explain why you hit our windshield.
When I got to the airport, I figured your plane had already landed and you were driving home. I just wasn't sure what vehicle you guys were riding in, so I had to fly up to each one I passed and take a look. Let me just say that some people don't react well to glowing birds peeking into their car windows. Anywho, long story short, I spent too much time looking into the windows of a Tesla Model 3 that was going much faster than any of the other cars, and when I turned back to investigate the few I'd passed up, I saw you guys through the windshield. I guess I was so excited that I flew into the glass. No harm, some foul. That's not the expression. I'm pretty sure it is.
It doesn't matter, Ozzy said. I'm glad you're okay.
I may have dented my beak. We can fix that. Ozzy put Clark in his pocket and trounced through the mud and back to the van. Rin and Siggy were still in the vehicle with shorts and shawl. Renee was standing in the mud talking on his cell phone to someone who was coming to help. 5 minutes later, two police cars arrived. 20 minutes later, a backup shuttle bus with a driver named Stev got there. And it was just after 4 a.m. when Ozzy and his crew finally arrived at 1221 Ocean View Drive. The shuttle dropped them off, and Ozzy got a receipt from Stev.
Remember to keep that receipt, Rin said. I've heard that people use things like that for taxes.
Once they were inside, Rin opted to stay and sleep on one of the couches in the living room. He wanted to make sure Ozzy didn't do something like jump out another window. There was also the risk of Ray sending someone around to cause more trouble. Things were concerning enough to require both a wizard and a guard bird.
Besides, Rin said as he searched the hall closet for a blanket to use, I'm no stranger to couches. I spent many nights on them before the divorce all those years ago. Slightly fun fact, my place doesn't have an actual bed. It's more like a couch.
I'm not really interested in couch talk, Siggy said. So, good night. Besides, I'm hoping all of this will make more sense in the morning.
Well, Rin said, that'll be fun to see.
And with that, they all went their separate ways. Ozzy still had a missing window, so he went back to the couch in the study. Rin went to the couch in the living room, and Siggy went to her bed. Clark took a couple of minutes to make a new nest out of a few dish towels in the kitchen, and then shut down. In less than a minute, the house was filled with humming and snoring that would have made Shorts and Shawl proud. Chapter 27 Being Pulled Apart. Ozzy woke up before the others and quickly washed up and got dressed. The scratches on his arms and face were fading, but his body felt tired and beat up from the long trip to New York.
He stared at his gray eyes in the bathroom mirror, trying to imagine he saw anything that even remotely resembled a wizard's apprentice. His whole life he had wondered if he possessed any magical gifts or abilities, but he still saw no evidence in the mirror. He left the bathroom by the kitchen and stopped near the microwave. He tapped Clark on the head in his towel nest and quietly said, "Shh," as Clark clicked and whirred to life. From where they were, Ozzy could see into the living room. Rin was sound asleep on the couch. His branch was laying on the floor, and his long hair and beard spilled over the edge of the couch as he slept on his side. "Want to go for a ride?" Ozzy asked. Clark jumped up onto Ozzy's shoulder, and the boy and Bird left the house as quietly as they could. They walked across the breezeway and entered the garage. Ozzy wheeled out the old motorcycle. "I'm so glad we're doing this," Clark tweeted. "Me too. That trip was messed up. We got Rin. Like I said, messed up." Ozzy put on his headphones and started the bike. With Clark flying next to him, he rode down the driveway and into the forest. It wasn't legal for him to drive the motorcycle on the roads, so he had found a route that took him through fields and forests until he reached Mule Pole Highway. When the highway was clear, he crossed it and traveled through the forest along the same routes he used to walk heading into town. This morning, however, he traveled the path in reverse, heading toward the spot where his heart still resided. With his earbuds in, the music made the experience seem much bigger than just a boy riding a motorcycle among the trees. Clark raced through the air next to Ozzy. Using wheels and wings, the journey took considerably less time than it used to on foot. In no time at all, they arrived at the place where Ozzy felt most complete. He turned off the motorcycle and the music. Clark settled on his shoulder, and they looked longingly at their one-time home. The cloaked house was just that, a small wooden cabin almost completely hidden by the overgrown forest. The front porch was a bed of wildflowers, and the windows were decorated with wide fans of branches and ivy. Tall trees circled the home, their leafy appendages covering most of the roof. In some spots, branches had pushed themselves through the walls and roofline. "I wish we could still live here," Clark said solemnly. "I mean, I like Siggy's place, but where's the charm?" Ozzy stepped onto the porch. It was the last place he had ever seen his parents. They had been taken from that very spot. It was his darkest memory, and Ozzy had more than a few dark ones to choose from. Despite the home being a reminder of sadness, the cloaked house was a piece of the world that Ozzy found worthwhile. He unlocked the front door. In the past, there had been no locks on the doors or the windows, but when he moved out, Patty and Siggy had helped him install some so that it would be more secure as it sat alone in the forest. "I hate that there are locks on the door," Ozzy said. "Same," Clark agreed. "But I'd be lying if I didn't admit that I like the keys." Inside, the house was still filled with boxes. There were far fewer than there once had been, but piles of book-filled boxes still dominated the space. They were the same boxes his parents had shipped here when they'd first moved from New York. "I'm going to see if that annoying squirrel is still hiding out in that tree near the stream," Clark said. The bird dashed out the front door, and Ozzy took a seat on a small red couch. He put his headphones back on and pressed play. He was a fan of silence, but like the Ben Folds 5 cassette that his parents had left, the new CD was more than just lyrics and melody. It was a connection that he desperately needed and a cure for some of the sadness he felt. And all the world was used to love. And yes, we'd still be happy in another time. Ozzy stood up from the couch and walked between the tall piles of boxes to the stairs with the black stars painted on them. He climbed the starry steps to reach the attic bedroom in which he'd slept and dreamed for so many years. He gazed out the round window at the forest view he knew so well. For a moment, the home felt like a weight, a piece of his past that was anchoring him to a sadness he shouldn't hold on to. It was a tombstone, a place he visited to remind himself of all he had lost. The feeling began to suffocate him, and when he looked down at his hand, he could see that his finger was buzzing. No, 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 not now. His eyes became cloudy, and his heart raced.
Clark!
Ozzy's mind took over. The boy turned from the window and descended down the starry stairs. He walked swiftly through the boxes, out the front door, and climbed onto the motorcycle. He started it up and tore off into the trees, heading west. His mind maneuvered the bike through the forest as his speed increased. Hearing the motorcycle engine start up, Clark stopped arguing with the squirrels and flew off to investigate. By the time he caught up to Ozzy, the boy was racing through the forest at a frightening and dangerous speed.
What are you doing?
Clark squawked as he flew near Ozzy. The bird dodged two tree branches and a large bush.
This can't be safe!
Ozzy swerved around a large oak tree and narrowly missed a massive stone jutting out of the ground.
Seriously, stop!
Clark flew onto Ozzy's back and began clawing at his shoulders with his talons. When that got no response, he started pecking him in the ears and on top of his head.
Snap out of it! He tweeted loudly. You're going to kill yourself, and you're not wearing a helmet!
Ozzy wove around three trees as if he were on an obstacle course. Clark shot down and grabbed the top of the helmet, hooked onto the back of the motorcycle. He yanked it off and flew up. As he tried to jam the helmet down on Ozzy's head, he hit a small overhead branch and spun sideways. The helmet went down, but it was on backwards. Ozzy was blind.
Crow!
Clark exclaimed. Even without his sight, Ozzy swerved and maneuvered perfectly through the trees. Clark grabbed onto Ozzy's shirt at the back of his neck.
Sorry!
Ozzy kept racing.
You can't see! The bird yelled. Where are you going anyway? This is the way to the beach! Wait, are you just trying to recreate the good times we used to have?
Ozzy didn't answer.
We had some laughs, but it wasn't worth dying for.
The motorcycle was running at top speed, and Ozzy was weaving and maneuvering through the forest like a skilled, blindfolded pilot. Clark clung to Ozzy's shirt and continued to peck and scratch. He looked up and saw that the woods were coming to an end.
You can't see it, but the trees are ending!
The bird screeched.
You're heading to the stone and sand?
Clark's warning was too late. The motorcycle burst out of the forest and flew 20 feet through the air before coming down hard on the stony ground that ran into the sand. The bike bounced and shook as it continued to race forward. Remarkably, Ozzy held tight and stayed atop the motorcycle.
Stop!
Clark insisted. As if listening, the motorcycle obeyed. 10 feet before the water, the front tire hit a patch of sand soft enough to pull the wheel down and stop the motorcycle in its tracks. The back of the bike flipped up and sent Ozzy sailing straight into the ocean. Clark clung to Ozzy's shirt, chirping,
I'm too interesting to die!
They splashed down into the water, and Ozzy instantly came to. His mind was his own again. It took a moment for him to realize what was happening, but once he did, he stopped thrashing about and pulled the helmet off. He stood up. The water was only waist high.
Ow!
He hollered, pulling Clark off the back of his shirt.
What are you doing? I didn't want to sink in the ocean, and I couldn't let you go, Clark chirped.
Ozzy felt the back of his neck where Clark had given him a few good scratches.
What happened? You took off and were trying to drive into the ocean.
Is the motorcycle okay?
That's what you're worried about?
Clark complained. Ozzy glanced around and saw the portable CD player lying nearby on the sand. He walked out of the water and picked it up.
We should get you home, Clark insisted. This is just the sort of thing a wizard should be dealing with.
Ozzy stood on the shore near the bike and stared out at the sea. Do you think it's weird that I've tried to head into the ocean twice?
I think there's lots of weird things about you.
Ozzy's finger buzzed.
What's wrong with me?
This is the kind of thing you should ask Rin. Ozzy lifted the motorcycle and got on. Both he and the bird were relieved when it started up on the first try.
Do you care if I hitch a ride?
Clark asked. That last flight took a lot out of me. The bird grabbed onto Ozzy's shirt and held on tightly as they drove through the trees and back toward 1221 Ocean View. There was something in the water, and now Ozzy knew it. Something or someone was pulling him toward the sea. His mind raced to find a reason.